Let me echo what Ashley said earlier and thank everyone for their extra effort and work today. Took a lot to get everything together. And everybody, it seems like when you have something new happening that the bugs get in everything. So we had a lot of bugs scrambling around today in our tech side and our stage side and everything. So everything came together right at the end. And so we're thankful for all the bodies of people that make that happen. We are so glad that you are here today. If you've been with us for several weeks now, we've been in a series called Continue that's really just been setting us up for this series, which we are calling Core. As you know, Ashley and I became the leaders of the church about 5 months ago, and a lot has been going on behind the scenes during those 5 months. So we're very excited that everything has come together for this strategic series in the life of our church, where we're going to be talking about Core, which is translated into our core values, what it means to be a church in this city. Now, all of you are driven by some type of values. There's something at the core of who you are that makes that you make decisions and live everyday life based on those core values. For instance, if you value money above everything, then a lot of your life will be driven toward making more money, getting more money, obtaining more stuff. If you value your family above everything, then a lot of your energy and effort and plans and money will all be directed toward your family. If you value a person above everything, your spouse or your kids, then all of your energy and time and a lot of what you do will be focused on those things. If you value football above everything, I was expecting some amen at that point. If you value football above everything, then your Saturdays will largely be dictated by when your team plays, what time they play, who's playing, who's hurt, who's injured, what the final score is. If you value bacon above everything, we got more amens for bacon than Alabama football. What's going on in this room? All the Auburn fans are like, bacon! So if you value food, bacon, Hot Pockets, whatever that might be, above everything, then a lot of your time, energy, and money will be spent around those things. What I'm saying is what you value, what is at the core of who you are, dictates a lot of your behaviors and decisions and a lot of what you do in life. If we were to break down what is a core value is the fundamental belief of a person or organization. The fundamental, what is at the core of who you are, your very fundamental beliefs of a person or an organization. And so those core values are kind of those guiding principles that dictate your behavior and your actions. Most of the most successful countries or companies in our country are driven by a set of values that drive and dictate the decisions that they make, their behaviors and their patterns. The core is at the heart of who you are. It helps you determine, your values help you determine whether you're on the right path or not. And most of the time, your core values, particularly as a church, flow out of your mission. They flow out of your purpose. And what we've said the last 17 weeks is that our mission is very simple. Our mission as a church is to continue what Jesus began. To continue what Jesus began to do and to teach. That's our mission. And so as a result of that, our core values are very simple. Our core values will be reflected in, are we doing, is what we are doing as a body of Jesus followers, is what we are doing and what we are teaching, continuing what Jesus started. Is what we're doing, is what we're doing with our children, is what we're doing in the theater on Sunday mornings, is what we're doing in our community, is what we're doing as a community of believers among ourselves, is what we're doing in every component of what we call church life, is it driven by the value? Are we continuing what Jesus started? Now, even the very first century church had values. They had things that guided them. Grab your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 2. And we're a Bible teaching church here. This series is a little different because we're going to be talking through our core values, but we're still going to be taking those out of the text, out of the scriptures. I've said to you many times, if it reaches a point I'm not preaching the Bible to you, then find another church because you should be attending a church that preaches the Bible. Acts chapter 2. Verse 42, And they devoted themselves, and they here is the first century church, the early believers, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayer. So right out of the gate, we see the things that they were committed to. Doctrine, teaching, fellowship, which is connecting with one another, the breaking of bread, which had to do with community, and prayers. And awe, it's not a word that we use a lot, but it's a powerful word, and awe came upon every soul. So they were standing in fascination what was going on. Awe came upon every soul, and wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Now, these wonders and signs, we believe, were particularly of interest in the first century when God was establishing his church, that a lot of the credibility of the church was confirmed by what the apostles were doing. Because God has given us his word, there is less of a need for the types of signs and wonders that we see in the New Testament. Because the church has been established and we've been given the greatest revelation of all outside of Jesus, which is the Bible. I have people say to me all the time, I want to hear God speak. And I always say the simplest way to hear God speak is open your Bible and start reading. And you'll hear God speak. God speaks through his words. And so we see what was going on in the first century. Awe and wonder. Wonders and signs being done through the apostles. 44. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. So we see this unity happening. Now listen to what they were doing. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Now let me be quick to say that what we have in the first few chapters of Acts is a description of what was going on. Sometimes a description is not always a prescription, like what we are supposed to always be doing. We pull some things out of this text based on what they were doing that apply across the centuries. But as you can tell from Acts chapter 2, this is a little bit of a unique situation in what was going on. So what we do is we find the principle behind it. In this case, they're selling everything, providing for people. Well, that teaches us the principle of generosity and sacrifice and being willing to give. It doesn't mean that we go out and sell all of our stuff and live in some little combine and only spend time with each other, right? Then people just think we're weird and that we were ready to distribute Kool-Aid. What it means is we apply what was behind what the first century was doing, which is we live generous, sacrificial lives. Sometimes I hear pastors say, we're just a church that models what was going on in Acts. And I'm like, well, that's true at some level, but at some level you're not all living out by yourselves in a combine and just eating with each other and living with each other and built your own little community out there. So we want to resemble Acts, but just because they were doing that in Acts doesn't mean that we are to follow the example of some of the things they were doing. We're to be driven by the values of the teachings behind what they were doing. Verse 46, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. So again, you see these things that were driving what they were doing. 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And so what they were doing was impacting an entire city, an entire community. And then I love this phrase in verse 47. And what? And the strategy that they had added to their church every day. No. And the awesome, cool services that they were having added day by day to the church. No. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. It's always a God thing. It's always pointing to him. And the moment it starts pointing to us, we've got our priorities out of line. But we learn from the example of Acts chapter 42. Now, what do we pull out of these verses that teach us some of the core values? One, we see they were devoted to the gospel. They were devoted to the gospel. Beliefs are important. Beliefs are not irrelevant. Beliefs dictate your behavior. And so we see that they were committed to the apostles' teaching, to doctrine. They were committed to praising God. And God was adding. They were devoted to the word that we use a lot around here. They were devoted to the gospel, to the good news of Jesus Christ and teaching it and believing it. And so they were devoted to the gospel. They were also devoted to each other. Did you pick up on that? Like they were a community. Like what they did it together. And so they were devoted to each other, which tells us community is important. They were praying together. They were eating together. And I know we live in the South, so when we get together, there's going to be food involved, right? That's a good thing. That's a biblical model. But bring some food out. Like break out the little smokies when we're getting together. That's hot dogs, by the way. So bring it together, right? Fellowship's important. Community is important. They were generous. Why were they generous? Because they were living life together. They were providing for each other's needs. And then we also see they were devoted to their city. Their actions are important. They had favor with the people. So when we see what was going on in Acts chapter 2, what does it tell us? It tells us that what we believe is important, that we have to be committed to the gospel, that living life together in community is important. It has to be a value. They were doing life together. And it tells us that we have to be committed to the world that God has placed us in, to our homes, to our neighborhoods, to our city, to our communities, that our actions are important. Here's what I've learned. Churches that focus so much on beliefs and no actions, those beliefs become very stagnant. And suddenly everybody's eyes are turned toward each other and they can't see outside of their own little world. The exact opposite of that is that churches that so emphasize actions and ignore beliefs, then they become very driven by very shallow teaching. A lot of things creep into the church that are kind of anti-Bible. It becomes a very me-centered church. It's all about me, meeting my needs. And so what we seek to do is to find the balance of those two worlds, that we emphasize the gospel and beliefs and doctrine and teaching while at the same time living it out. It's not enough just to know it. We have to live it out. Jesus was the example of that. And so how it breaks down for me is that there's three primary things that we should be doing as a church. These are not our core values, but this is kind of the way that I think this text breaks down. What we're encouraged from this text is that we should be pursuing some things. We should be pursuing three things: intimacy with God, falling in love with Jesus. We should be pursuing community with each other, community with insiders, those are that are within the family of God. And we should be pursuing influence with outsiders, that we should be seeking to impact the community around us. And if those three things are working together, it gives us the model of continuing what Jesus began. Think about the life of Jesus. Did Jesus pursue intimacy with his heavenly Father? Time and time again, we read that he was withdrawing from the crowd to talk to the heavenly Father, that he had this deep, intimate relationship with the heavenly Father that caused him to withdraw and to rely upon the Father. Think about Jesus calling out 12 disciples to pursue community with those 12, to invest in those 12, because those 12 would be the key to continuing what Jesus began, that he pursued community with those that were called out by God. And then think about Jesus, how he pursued those who were outside of the faith, how Jesus built relationships with and impacted the community around him by pursuing outsiders. As we've seen time and time again, people that no one religious wanted to have anything to do with, Jesus was building relationships with them. And so we continue what Jesus started by reflecting these things in our life. Above everything else, the church is called to be about those three things: intimacy with God, community with each other, and influence with those around us. And so this series is designed to introduce us to our core values and how they will guide us to fulfill our mission, to continue what Jesus began. So here's what I want to do today. I want us to see a big picture of what we're going to be talking about. And then over the next several weeks, we'll be unpacking that. We'll be breaking it down. So at the very core, if you were to say, Devin, at the very core of what we should be about as a church, at the very core, what would you be about that should guide us? It's really just, it's about two primary things. We are to proclaim the gospel. Proclaim it. That's about our beliefs. We believe the gospel. We believe Jesus is the way. We are to proclaim the gospel, and then we are to demonstrate the gospel. Live it out. Beliefs and actions. Beliefs and actions. Proclaim the gospel. Demonstrate the gospel. And I believe if we will do those things, that God will add to his church. The Lord will add to the church, as we see in Acts. What does God call us to do? Proclaim the gospel, demonstrate the gospel, and God will build his church. God will build it. So what does that look like in our context? Well, if you remember, about 5 months ago, Ashley and I took leadership of the church. If you know about our story, and you can go back and read this throughout several places, my blog, and it's in the old videos. We had Transition Sunday back in May. If you remember, Ashley and I had been out of ministry. I had been out of ministry about 4 years. and really had planned not to go back into ministry. We are a classic story of God's brokenness and redemption. We had made some decisions in life that had where we had lost our influence and our leadership, and God had really taken us through a time of restoration and healing and redemption. But we had really felt like that we were probably not going to be in ministry any longer. And God had put this friend in my life that loved and supported me during some of my most difficult times, whose personality is very different than mine in a lot of ways. So we loved each other and helped each other a lot of times and drive each other nuts on occasions because of how we think. But God had put this guy in my life that you guys know, named Dave Anderson, that you guys have been under his leadership for many years, and the church has been through a lot of transitions over the last several years. And Dave came to me, it was just kind of full circle because I had come to him many years ago in a very broken place in life. And Dave came to me at a very broken place in his life to say, "Devin, I'm not sure that I can do this much longer." He had been through things physically and emotionally and spiritually, and I'm not sure you really understand the weight of leadership and ministry unless you've lived it. And so Dave had been through a lot, and he had just reached a place in his life where he felt like God was at a where he was kind of letting him go from all of this. And so he came to me and said, "I only see a few options here. I feel like that maybe I'm supposed to shut the church down, or I'm supposed to turn it over to someone else." And I said, "Well, look, I want to be your friend. Let's pray about this. Let's not shut it down. Let's pray about what God wants in this time." And so through that prayer process, Dave looked at me and said, "Would you be interested in becoming the pastor?" And I said, "Absolutely not. What do you mean?" "No, I don't want to become the pastor." And he said, "Well, you're my friend. Would you at least pray about it?" And so I said, "Well, I will agree to pray about it." Don't make that mistake. I'm just kidding. So I said, "All right, I'll agree to pray about it." And so I went home, and Ashley said, "How'd your conversation go?" And I said, "You don't want to know." And she said, "What?" And I said, "Dave asked us to consider taking the church." And she said, "Well, you told him no, didn't you?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." "But he said," I don't want to hear "but he said." "But he said, would we be willing to pray about it?" "No, I'm not going to pray about it." "Babe, we claim to follow Jesus, and we're supposed to talk to Jesus about things. Dave and Dana have been our friends, so let's at least pray about it." And so we agreed to begin to pray about it. And to make an extremely long story short, God began to transform our hearts to be willing to consider leadership of this church. And so we made that transition over a few months' time, and through a lot of prayer and outside counsel, we began to pray about it, and that transition happened this past May. Now, what you may or may not have known is while that was going on, Ashley and I felt like there were some non-negotiables for us, that if we were going to make this transition, there were some things that we put on the table that we said, these things have to happen for God to be in it, or we will not even consider it, because this has to be a God thing. And so some of those non-negotiables, one of them was that this had to be God orchestrated. This could not be Dave orchestrated, Devin orchestrated, church orchestrated. This had to be a God orchestrated event. And it's crazy when we began to open our eyes to how God had been putting all the pieces in place that we realized the only way that we could even be in this position, Dave to be in that position, the church to be in that position, was through a lot of God-ordained events. And so as we began to process those things, it became very clear to us that it appeared that God had been setting this up to happen. Another non-negotiable for us is that this decision had to be confirmed by outside people that we trusted. And so I literally began to call people that I thought would tell me, "Devin, you are out of your mind. Do not do this." Like, I wanted people that would say to me, "No, you're thinking about yourself. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't get back into ministry. Here's why." And so that's the people I called. I was looking for an out. And every one of those people, without exception, said to me, "We believe that God's leading you to do this, that you should be doing this." So instead of discouraging me, they affirmed that I should be doing this. And I'm on the phone like, "Are you sure? Did I call the right number?" But God was affirming through, again, the impact of people outside of the church that we trusted that this is what we're supposed to do. Another one of our non-negotiables is that we had to create a team of people within Revolution Church that would confirm this, a transition team, we called them. And so we put together a group of people that were what Dave considered kind of the key leaders in different areas of the church, and we began to meet with them and pour our hearts out to them and say, this is why you should not bring us on board. Like, you don't want us for these reasons, and here's the baggage and the dirt that we bring to the table, and you need to know all this, and we're broken people. And so we began to meet with this transition team, and again, God used them to confirm a lot of things in our hearts and really help us along the way to take the steps that we needed to take, both as individuals and as a body of people. So you guys have a group behind the scenes that have been working endlessly with us to make this happen, this transition team. Another non-negotiable that was important to me was and most of you know this, I still work a full-time regular job outside of church. And so I knew that I didn't have the energy to put full-time effort into the church because I have a family and a job and a lot of demands in life. And so I said, look, if we're going to do this, we have to be a team. And as a team, Ashley and I can put in full-time energy, but it's going to have to be both of us. And so we agreed that Ashley would come on full-time, which, let me just say, is the best decision through this whole period that could have happened. Not just because she's my wife, but you guys have an amazing director of ministries. It's even more special for me because she is my wife. And so it's awesome. But she came on full time so that we could, as a team, put together full time effort into making this happen. And the other kind of flip side of that is I needed her to be by my side. I had done ministry driven by Devin and Devin alone. And it led me in some very unhealthy places. And I knew that I needed her to be on the same page with me all the time and that we would be working in this together to stay close. Can I tell you what's more important to me than my relationship with you guys? What's more important to me is my relationship with her and that we had to protect us above everything. My highest priority is not you. I love you guys, but my highest human priority is my wife and my precious children. And I knew that I had to create space to protect those things at all cost. Now, there are times that we work together that we're like, would you please like go in the other room right now? There's those moments for sure. I'm a hard person to work with and for, I can tell you. And there's times that we have to have our space because she tends to clack on the computer keys way too loud. And at times I'm just like, I'm about to bang my head against that wall if I hear this anymore. And so but Ashley had to be a part of this, and so we brought Ashley on full time. And then one of the other non-negotiables for us is that if we were going to do this, that we would relaunch the church in this community, that we would take a time to breathe and get our feet under us, and then that we would relaunch the church. And the reason that is so important is because that is important as a leader to have God-given ownership over a vision. When Dave opened the doors to Cross Point Church and then Revolution Church, he had a God-given vision for him and ownership of that vision, of what it would look like, of how it would translate in the community, all those things. As a leader, God also gives me kind of direction and what I call a God-orchestrated vision in my life that is driven by a lot of the same things but looks a little different. And so I knew that if we were going to come in and take leadership, that there had to be a level where we took ownership of the vision that we believe that God was calling us to do. And so that began a behind-the-scenes process of rediscovering and redefining who we are as a church. Now, here's what you need to know. Everything was on the table. Everything was on the table. Some things, obviously, would remain the same. We're a church that is driven by a desire to reach people far from God. That will never change. If we continue what Jesus began, that will never change. That's who Jesus pursued, was self-righteous people, but extremely unrighteous people as well, right? And so we'll pursue both because people that are far from God, no matter if it's cloaked in their own righteousness or cloaked in filthiness, they need the gospel. And so some things will always remain the same about the vision of who we are, but some things will evolve. Some things will change. Change is a necessary part of life for growth to happen. Babies are awesome, but if they stayed babies for 18 years, I'm not sure I'd want to sign up, right? Babies are awesome in their season of total dependence, crying in the night, changing the diapers, But guess what? If my 14-year-old son still needed me to feed him with a bottle and change his diaper and was crying throughout the night, I would think, what is wrong? Like, you're supposed to change and grow up. Like, change is a part of life. Change is a natural part of life. And over the next few months, we will be making some adjustments and some changes that we believe are best for the church and for the city to which we have been called. So today, we're going to get a big one on the table. When I am asked about what's going on at the church, there's two questions that are the most common questions that I get asked about this transition. One, are we going to get a what? Building. I get that question all the time. Our goal would be to not always be a portable church. We would love to be a permanent location church at some point. That hasn't happened as of yet. And so as you guys are out there and looking and see buildings, like, pray about those things, keep those things in mind. So our goal is not to always be portable. It would be to be permanent. We realize that the church is not confined to being in a building or out of a building, that the church is the people. So regardless of if we're portable for a long time or find a permanent space, we're still the church of Jesus. And we'll do whichever we're supposed to do for His honor and His glory. But we get asked that question a lot. The second question that I get asked all the time as we took this transition is, are we changing the name of the church? I get asked that all the time from the very first meeting that I had. So officially, I can give you the answer today that we are, yes, changing the name of the church. Okay? We're going to talk about what that looks like and why we'd be doing that. Now, let me tell you that names are important. Names are very important. This past week on Labor Day, we spent the day with my parents, and my dad is an avid note keeper. Like, he has all these notes about family history and all these things. And so he whipped out his little book, and we started kind of looking a little bit through our family tree and hearing some stories about bygone generations. And who picked names like two generations ago? It's so funny reading the names of people just, you know, again, two or three generations ago. But one of my favorite names that comes out of my family tree was a great, it would have been my grandfather's grandfather, so whatever that is. Or maybe it was my grandfather's father. So I guess that would be my great-grandfather. His name was Flem Minor. F-L-E-M, Flem Minor. Phlegm, like phlegm, like isn't that like a loogie that you cough up and spit out? Like, your name is Phlegm? Like, are you sure, like, someone didn't cough something up when they asked for the name? Like, let's name him Phlegm. Like, names are important. Like, I wanted to rename Zach in that moment Phlegm to carry on the family tradition. Wouldn't that be so funny? This is my son Phlegm. This is his sister Loogie. Names are important. Names represent, right? Cross Point represented something during that season. Revolution represented something during that season. Names are important. They represent you. And as we prayed and talked through the name Revolution as a couple and as a transition team and as key leaders, as we prayed through and talked through that and the future of our church, we knew that it was best to change the name. And so you say, Devin, then the key question is, to what are we going to change the name? So I came up with something. I think you guys will go with it. Here's the new name of the church. We're going to be the World Harvest International Headquarters of Born Again, Spirit-Filled Believers, Assembly of Fellowship and Evangelistic Temple of Praise and Celebration, LLC. I don't even want to try to break down the acronym of that. We're not going to be that. It would not fit on a T-shirt. We wanted a name that defines who we are and who we are called to reach with the gospel. We wanted it to be simple. We wanted it to be unique. I don't know if you know this, but there's like 7 million churches in Decatur, and most church names are taken. We wanted it to be simple and unique and something that flows out of our mission to continue what Jesus began. And you have heard me say time and time again, the part of our mantra is that we believe we are to be in this city for this city. And we want to be a church that is in this city and for this city. So here's what we believe. The name of our church is best that meets our vision. We're going to call ourselves City Church. City Church. It's simple. It's unique. Our call is to live out the gospel, and that begins in our own city, in our homes, in our businesses, in our community, proclaiming and demonstrating the gospel where God has placed us. Wherever your city is, you are the church in that city. You're Jesus in that city. If that's Decatur or Hartsel or Somerville or Trinity, the awesome suburb of Trinity where we live, wherever you are called to be Jesus in that city. And the city in which we gather is Decatur. And then we are scattered to our cities to be in our city and for our city. So our mission statement is very, very simple. City Church exists to continue what Jesus began. That's it. That's what we're about. We're a church in this city for this city that exists to continue what Jesus began. And so everything we do will be through that lens. Are we continuing what Jesus did and taught? And this is going to be spelled out even in our logo. Throw the logo up there, Dave. So the little logo down here, this is spelled out even in our logo. And so if you are familiar with Decatur, you know that Decatur is often described as being in four quadrants, I guess it's called, four sections of the city. And so those kind of four corners represent that we are a church that we believe is to be Jesus in all of Decatur. Obviously, you can see kind of some things going on here with the two C's in City Church, but the ultimate C representative is that we are to be Christ in this city. We are City Church, but at the heart of everything we do is Jesus, and that Christ is the center of all this, and you can kind of see in the logo the little cross there in the middle too that represents in the heart of everything we do is the gospel. And so even down to our logo, we want the logo to reflect who we are. We're City Church. You guys probably know more about the logo right now than anybody that ever sees it will know about it. And that's okay. As we prayed through this, we wanted something that represents who are we, what are we about. We are a church called for this city, all of the city, to be Jesus in this city with the gospel. So even our logo is going to represent. Now, it's good to have a good name that represents who you are. The name is good, but what are we going to be about? What are we going to value beyond just the name? And so through a lot of prayer and discussion, and we have come up with four core values that we're going to unpack for the next 4 weeks, next few weeks. And I'm just going to mention them today, and then we'll unpack them later. So here are the four values that will drive City Church. Number one, the church belongs to Jesus. The church belongs to Jesus. It's not yours. It's not mine. It belongs to Jesus. He gave his life for it. He called us by his grace. It is his church. And so everything we do will be driven, understanding the lens. This is his thing. It's not ours. We're going to talk about him. We're going to sing about him. We're going to worship him. We're going to discuss him. But everything we do is about Jesus. The church belongs to Jesus. Our second core value that will drive us is we believe that grace is a way of life. That we have been given much grace, undeserved, scandalous grace. And as a result of that, we are to live out God's grace. And we'll unpack that in a few weeks and what that means. The third core value that's going to drive us is that we live intentionally in community. You have to be intentional to live in community. It doesn't just happen. And so we're going to be intentional to live doing life together. There's no solo acts in the New Testament. We do life in community. And then the fourth core value is that we are for our city. We're not against it. We're for it. We're in favor of it. We want to work to partner with our city to make this a better place, to demonstrate the gospel, to proclaim the gospel, to live out the gospel in the city in which God has placed us. Now, here's my challenge to you. My challenge to you is, one, be patient. Be patient. Here's the temptation when change starts happening. When is such and such coming? When's youth ministry coming? When are we going to get a building? When are we going to do this? It's tempting to say, when is X, Y, and Z happening? When is this coming? When are we going to do this? Our goal is to take patient, calculated, intentional steps toward what God wants us to be and do. Probably the thing that you will bring up is probably somewhere on our agenda at some point. But we need you to be patient. I've asked Ashley, what are the most important things that we need to do right now? Let's sit down, let's discuss those, and let's take one step at a time. So just be patient with us. You may hate the name. Guess what? Be patient. Think through it. Pray through it. Get excited about it. Be patient. Here's the second challenge. Be positive. Exciting days are ahead of us. Exciting days are ahead of us. You know why? Jesus is alive. The church is not dead. Whatever you read in the news, whatever your opinion of what's going on in culture is, Jesus is as alive today as he ever has been. The church is alive today as much as it ever has been. And we get to be a part of it. For 2,000 years, the gospel has been taught and proclaimed and lived out. And we take our place in history to join hands with generation after generation after generation to say, Jesus is alive. He is our leader. He is our forgiver of sins. The church is alive. And we get to be a part of that. That is exciting. So be positive. I always say, you've heard me say it here before, at some point I will do or say, or you will do or say, that will tick other people off. Because we are human beings. And if we put our eyes on each other, and if we keep our eyes on what about me, and how can I have my needs met, and I don't like this, and I don't like that, if we keep our eyes there, we miss the belief and the foundation that Jesus died for your sins and is alive, and his church continues. The church belongs to Jesus. And that's something worth being positive about and exciting about. So be positive, be excited about what's going on. And then here's the last challenge I would give to you. Be faithful. Be faithful. What does that mean? That means show up. That means be faithful in your giving. That means be faithful in your serving. That means be faithful in inviting and investing in other people to come and invite to what God has been doing. You don't know who is in your sphere of influence, in your circle of influence, that is in desperate need of the gospel right now. And all they need from you is a word of encouragement or support or an invitation to come. Hey, we got some things going on I think you would like. I want you to be a part of it. Would you show up with me? I know it's weird. We meet in the theater and, you know, maybe we'll stick around and hide in the seats and see a free movie after it's over or something. But would you come? Don't do that. But would you come and hang out with me? Most comfortable seats in town. You can eat popcorn while he's speaking. So invite. Be faithful in your serving and your giving and showing up on Sundays. Be faithful to invite. So I want to give you those challenges. Be patient, be positive, be faithful. We believe the best is yet to come because we serve a living and alive Jesus. I'm going to invite Ashley to join me on the stage. Where are you, babe? Are you coming? Oh, are you asleep? She's heard all this so many times, she may have just dozed off. She's been working tirelessly. She may be tired. I wanted Ashley to join me on the stage because I wanted you to hear from us what our commitment to you is, okay? And some of you, not all of you, know our story, and the fact that we're here today and where we're at as a church is such an astounding, overwhelming moment of God's grace and faithfulness and commitment. So this is a huge deal for us just in our lives personally, and we're glad we get to share this journey with you guys. So here's our commitment to you guys as a couple. To the best of our ability, by God's incredible grace and his constant renewal in our lives and his forgiveness for our mistakes and sins and his ongoing work to make us more like Jesus, with the best of our ability, we will remain, we will protect our hearts and our marriage to the best of our ability. We will protect our hearts, and we will protect our marriage, and we will protect our home at all costs. Because we need to do that to be what God wants us to be for you. And so we commit to each other and to you that we will commit to each other above everything. that we will protect our hearts, our marriage, and our home, okay? We also commit to you that we will be real with you. We will be authentic with you. We are broken, and we need Jesus now more than ever in our lives. And you will hear that, and you will see that in the way we lead. We will not be fake. We will not put a facade on. We will be real with you. We will be authentic with you because we are broken people that need Jesus as much as you do. So we will be real with you. We will keep this church gospel-centered and Jesus-focused. We will keep this church focused on the gospel and focused on Jesus because we believe that's what changes lives. We commit to you that we will preach the Bible to you. You hear me? I will preach the Bible to you. If I stop preaching the Bible, go somewhere else. We will preach the Bible to you. This is God's breath on a page, and you need to hear from it and not from me. We will preach the Bible to you consistently, week in and week out. We commit that we will create engaging environments that celebrate Jesus passionately. We believe in celebrating who Jesus is. We believe in celebrating through our singing that he's worth worshiping and adoring and praising. And we will communicate with you and live out before you what we believe that means to be able to not hold back. And I'm not talking about doing crazy things and turning cartwheels, but I'm talking about learning how to really celebrate who Jesus is. And we will lead this church with engaging environments that celebrate Jesus and who he is. We will create welcoming, come as you are environments for all types of people. You hear me? We will create welcoming and come as you are environments for all types of people. That means religious people. That means people who have never stepped foot in a church. That means people who have been burned by the church. That means people who may hate church, be questioning of who God is, skeptic, atheist, agnostic, someone that's been in church 75 years and really doesn't truly get the gospel. We will welcome all types of people. We will not chase away totally irreligious people. We will not chase away religious people. We will preach the gospel and allow God to do his work in the lives of people that are on both ends of that spectrum. We will create those type of environments. Come as you are. That's where Jesus meets us. Here's an important one. We will teach the Bible to your children and to your students, to your teenagers. We will be a gospel-centered teaching church to all the way down. We want your kids to understand the gospel. We're introducing a new curriculum to the kids. It's going to be focused on the Bible, how it points to Jesus. It's a 3-year journey through this curriculum, taking the Bible story after story after story and showing Jesus time and time again in the Bible. Isn't that cool? And how the gospel. So we want your kids to learn that Jesus is the center of the Bible. We will serve our community. We believe we are here to serve without an agenda. We will serve our community to demonstrate the gospel. We will create environments for us to do life together. We'll be introducing small groups and things for you to begin to do life together. That's one of those things. Be patient. They'll come. Give us time to figure out what that looks like exactly, but we will create environments for us to do life together. We will proclaim healing, hope, and redemption for broken people. We are all broken. We all need Jesus. And we will proclaim a gospel that is healing, a gospel of hope, and a gospel of redemption for broken people. And here's the last one. We will trust God to build his church. We'll trust him to do it. Not us, not how cool we can make things, how savvy we are, what's the next great strategy? We will use strategy. We'll think through things. We'll be organized. That's part of being a church, is you don't just come in and throw it all together. You think through things and how can we be a more effective church. But at the end of the day, this church and the, I hate this word affiliated with the church a lot of times, but the success of this church will hinge on Jesus and Jesus alone. He will build his church. And we'll be faithful to lift him up and proclaim his message and sing about him and demonstrate him to our community and trust him to build his church. That's our commitments to you. Can you guys get on board with that? Can you be excited about what we're committed to? All right, so I'm going to let Ashley fill you in on a couple of things. Again, as our director of ministry, she's going to kind of give you a little bit of logistics on a couple of matters.
Well, am I on? Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah?
I think so.
If you guys haven't got the memo, we're a little excited about this. It's been brewing within the leadership of our church for so many months now. It's like that volcano that's like ready to burst. And you know, I'd like to just piggyback really briefly. A little emotional because I'm a volcano about to burst.
Oh boy.
I have to say that in December, when Dave asked us to pray, which for the record, let's set the record straight, I didn't say no to that. When the prayer card was on the table, I did say, well, I can't say no to that. So, but as we started praying through this, it became so evident. I couldn't run from it. I couldn't sleep at night. I knew that this is what God wanted us to do. But here's the thing. I didn't necessarily feel connected to what was happening here, and I didn't know what the future was going to look like, and that was terrifying for me. And so, as faithful as God is, these last 3 to 4 months, Devin and I, our hearts for this place has gotten so deep. We love you guys. It has been a blessing and so humbling to be on this journey. Humbling for us, but you are incredible people. Every single person in this room. And we know that you are here for a reason. And so as we kind of focused in on what that looks like and what that means, you have been the lens that has driven everything that we've been planning for and thinking through it over the next months to come. We know that as we think about these things, it's not like, oh, we're going to launch a new kids ministry. What can I think of that's cool to do? It's how can we do that together? And so the we factor in this is huge for us. But we love you guys, and we are so excited in the next 6 months to a year to come as things are going to continue to evolve in our church and we're going to grow them. It's going to be fun. Like, we're going to have a really good time. So that's all. I'm just going to say I love y'all. All right.
I love you too.
So, City Church, next week you're going to come to church and all of our signage and everything else is going to be up. We're so excited about it. When you leave today, go check out our website. It's not perfect in every way, but it's getting there. And it's really cool looking, so go to citychurchdecatur.com. We also have a Facebook page. It's a new Facebook page. So first thing you do, pull up your Facebook, City Church Decatur. Like our page, because that's how we're going to talk to you throughout the week, and we're going to touch base and post different things. Like it and share it, because we really want to work hard to get connected in our community. And we definitely are going to make an effort to let people know that we're here, okay? We meet in a movie theater in the back of the mall, and most of the time people say, oh, really? I didn't know y'all had a church there. And so we're going to do some things in the next week or two to come that are going to change that. Number one, we're going to have a big banner that is permanently hung right out here at our entrance. All week it's going to be there. So as people come to the movies and they go, they're going to see our church banner, and it's going to have information about us being here and everything. It's going to be awesome. So you can look for that, and we're also going to put some new signage out on Danville and Beltline, and hope to goodness that the city doesn't give us a hard time about it. We walk out of here today, we've got an invite card that we are going to give you. You can take one or several. This is serving two purposes. First of all, we want to invite you, our church, to come back next week and join us at City Church. So this is an invitation for you. It's got our mission and our values on the back, but it's also a way, an easy way for you to tell a friend and just give this to them and say, hey, would you consider coming with me? It doesn't have to be next week. Just think about it. Come with me. But we want to really encourage you guys to invest in the people that are in your lives. And as Devin said, people need to hear the gospel, and we can work tirelessly to try and make that happen, but it's us together that's going to make that happen. And ultimately, God. So grab an invite card on your way out. A couple things. Will you be my Vanna White? Can you hold up my
Always.
T-shirts? Okay. We have a new City Church t-shirt. This one that Devin is holding up right here, you got to move to the side so you can see it. Okay. So volunteer in this next season, we're going to be very focused on what we're going to continue to strengthen. And as Devin said, my list is 150 things long. More, 1,000. Hey, don't hold this up yet, sorry. Okay, so.
Volcano.
I can only start the ball rolling, and with you guys, we're going to make this happen. So between now and the first of the year, I want to be so clear with you. We are really, really working on strengthening a few of our ministries. Number one is our kids' ministry. Our kids are so valuable to our church. Okay, sorry, babe. Our kids are so valuable, and in the last month, we've actually gone through our current team of volunteers, and we've informed them. We've talked through the new curriculum we're going to do. We're talking about activities we're going to bring in. I promise you it's going to be fun for your kids. We're going to engage them in the gospel, and we've got a lot of volunteers in our church that are supporting our kids' ministry, and we always need more. So here's the thing. If people bring their kids to our church and they don't feel like they're safe or they don't feel like they're having a good time or engaged in the gospel, they won't come back. And so our kids' ministry is not only important because our children's hearts are hearing about Jesus at a young age, but it's also important to the health of our church. So one of the ways that we're going to kind of encourage some unity in our kids' ministry is have every volunteer each week that they serve wear a t-shirt so you know they are kids' ministry volunteers. So here's our City Kids t-shirt. Isn't it cute? Yes, yes. So anybody that is working in our kids' ministry that week is going to wear this t-shirt. That means you can trust your kids with them. It means that they've prepared before they've come. They're ready to invest in your kids, and they're going to have fun with your kids. So I want you guys to know that these are the people you can trust. Don't give your kid to anyone else. Got it? All right. The other thing that we're doing is we're really working on what we're calling our first impressions team. What that means is what do you and every guest that walks through our doors experience when they come to City Church? I think everybody's probably been to a church where you walked in and no one spoke to you. You felt so awkward. And then you thought you walked out of there, you're like, thank goodness I was done. Because you just kind of had that like social anxiety. Anybody else? Okay. Well, I have, and it's horrible. And so what we want to do is part of us being in our city and loving our city is being people that are engaged with everybody who walks through our doors. So from setup, y'all know you have a crew of people that tirelessly, week after week, come in here and make this church a church. That's incredible. Then we've got greeters and people that work out in the lobby, in our cafe, all these things that are happening to make your experience better. We're going to continue to grow that, okay? If you want to get on this First Impressions team or kids ministry, please consider it. It's going to be fun. I need extra people. It's going to be awesome time for us to interact and really love on people that walk through our doors. Okay, people you see every week and brand new people. So if you are a greeter on the First Impressions team, work in our cafe, anything that has to do with you interacting with our church on a Sunday, you'll see those volunteers wearing this We're Glad You're Here t-shirt. And that's just as it says. We are so glad you're here, and we want people to know that. We want the experience for them to be welcoming, and we want for them to know that we love Jesus. And that doesn't have to be like, hey, I'm crazy and I love Jesus. It can just be loving on someone enough to say, I've never walked in a church and had anyone make me feel like no matter what happened to me yesterday or what's going on in my life, it doesn't matter. They're glad I'm here right now. Okay? Are y'all excited about that? You think it's cool? Yeah. The last thing that I wanted to let you guys know is in the next couple months, we are planning a few community service opportunities, community involvement opportunities for our church as a whole. They're going to be things that you and your kids can participate in, and we're all going to get on board together between now and the end of the year to serve our community. Every one that we're thinking of right now is going to look a little different. Some are going to be really close to us. Some will be, you know, serving meals maybe in Christmas or doing something for people we aren't normally every other day interacting with, maybe people we know in our own church. But serving our community, being for our city, is one of our core values. And so the next few months, pay attention. You'll start hearing things that we're going to talk about. We're going to serve together. And it's going to be awesome. And we'll wear our City Church t-shirts and we'll go out there and show Decatur, Alabama, that we know we're here for a purpose. And that's for the gospel.
Awesome. Okay. So if you volunteer in any of the things you describe, cafe,
yes.
First impressions, who else? And then kids.
These t-shirts are free of cost. So if you're in kids ministry or first impressions, these t-shirts for you are free of cost.
Are these at the cafe as well?
But all of our t-shirts are at the
okay.
cafe. So when you come out of here today, grab an invite card, go get your t-shirt, and if you don't have a serving t-shirt, you should sign up to serve, and you can put that on your contact card. All right,
so these are free. Go by, pick those up. Make sure your name gets marked off so we make sure everyone has one. We're just trying to cover cost on t-shirts with these, so... City Church. The invite cards have all the social media information, so make sure you get that. And website, Twitter, Facebook, even Instagram account and the actual website, so pick that up on your way out. I've got two. Who wants the very first City Church shirt? I don't know if I can get it to you, dude. I saw hands up over there. Look at that throw. I'm better than Alabama's quarterback. What? I'm going to try to go all the way up there. All right. I'll give one to front row people, too. I should give all out down here because I sit down here. All right, so we're pumped. We're excited. Be here next week. If you're a little unsure about this, the next several weeks I'll be unpacking it all individually. So show up, at least hear God's vision and our core values, and we're going to do this together. At the end of the day, we're out of time, but at the end of the day, this is all about one person. This is all about Jesus. So before we go today, we're going to remind you, this is all about Jesus. The band is going to come. We're going to sing Cornerstone, which reminds us this is all about Jesus. So let's stand together. Let's worship him. And then go by and get your t-shirts, and we will see you next week.